I'm Melissa. I'm Pastor Intern here, and I'm happy to be with you this morning to share the message. So as I've been through my seminary studies, finishing up in my fourth year now, there are two things that have fascinated me, many, but two things in particular that have fascinated me about the Bible. One of them is that we often read into the Bible things that aren't actually there. And second, that very often the things that aren't specifically mentioned, the places where the Bible is silent, are places where we can learn a lot as well. So this is the fourth week of Guess Who's Coming to Christmas. We've been with the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, or the magi. And this week, we're with the animals. And so there's not actually a specific mention of animals in the Christmas story. But we assume that the animals were there because Jesus was born and then laid in the manger, which is a feeding trough for animals. And so where there is food, we can assume there are animals. So this morning we're talking about the animals, and we might think of them merely as decorations in our manger scene, but they're actually there for a reason. Through them, we learn something about God, about ourselves, and about the world in which we live. So this morning, to start, we're going to ask Heidi and the kids and their parents, whoever wants to come up.
Splashville
in particular, to come up and help tell us part of the story.
So if you're in Splashville, come on up and sit
on our zebra carpet, because that's where we usually start our stories, right? Yeah. And if you're wondering how zebra carpet matches the stable, you're going to just have to work with me, people, because this is what we have, this is what we're used to, so that's what we're going to go with. I'm going to fix our stable here. So like Melissa mentioned, we have been following along with Guess Who's Coming to Christmas with the children's programs, too. And in Splashville, we've been sharing a story called Who is Coming to Our House? And it presumes, like Melissa said, that there are animals since there was a manger. And the story goes through what the animals might be imagining and what the animals might be doing to get ready for Jesus. All right, so you guys ready? I'm going to let you guys choose what you'd like to be. How about that? You can choose. Go ahead. You want to be the little pig? What one would you like to be, Isaiah?
I want to be a mouse.
I think I have two mice. Isn't that great?
I'm not going to sit with you. Wait, it's
eight. The peacock. Nice. All right. All right, Jonas, what would you like to be? A hen? All right. Did you get one? All right, everyone ready? Perfect. All right. Who is coming to our house? All right. The story begins. Who is coming to our house? Someone says the mouse. All right, so if you're the mouse, come on in and let's go to the stable. There you go. Good job. Anybody else a mouse? Go on, Pete. Come on. You can come on. Bring your mouse right over there. Perfect. Make room, says the pig. Does anybody have the pig? Come on, Abden. Come on over. Let's make room. Here comes the pig. I will butt aside the rig. And that's when they use their head and they kind of give a little push with their head. All right. Who is coming to our house? Someone, says the mouse. Sweep the earth, says Chick. Is anybody a chick today? All right, can you guys pretend to sweep with your hands? Let's go. Nice. Stack the hay, says Goose, and quick. I wonder what it would look like to stack the hay. Up this high? Maybe up this high? All the way to the top of the stable? Who knows? Who is coming to our house? Someone, says the mouse. Someone's coming from afar. Let's use our hands and look way far away.
I can't work.
Where is it, Isaiah? It's a long way away.
Yes.
I will nose the door ajar. And that's the horse. Is anybody the horse this morning? Oh, all right. But it's dark, says Cat. She's worried that it's not going to be light enough for the baby. They will never come, says Rat. Yes, they'll come, says Mouse. Someone's coming to this house. I will lay an egg, says Hen. Who's a hen? That's you. I will spread my tail for them. Can you spread your tail? Go ahead, Savannah. That's the peacock. Okay, so if you were the owl, I want you to go in too, because they were the ones that were looking all the way far away. All right, and then the cow says, yes, they'll come. So the cow went in, and the sheep says, I'm going to make it so very soft for the baby Jesus. Are you going to go in? You going to go in, Sophia? All right. So who is coming to our house? Shh! Mary and Joseph are coming to the house. And then they said, welcome, welcome to our house. Can you guys say that with me? Ready? Welcome, welcome to our house. And now everybody, welcome, welcome to our house. Nice job. Thanks, you guys, for helping us tell part of the story today. As we're heading back, I think we can all identify with trying to get our house ready around this time of year. How many of you are all ready for Tuesday, Wednesday? Wow. Well, I have to admit, I'm not ready quite yet. I just got my Christmas tree yesterday, in fact, and finally got it up. So, thanks again, Splashville. That was excellent. So the other thing that's going on, you know, this preparing our house, it made me think, my son Chris is actually playing the bass today, and so he just finished his first semester at the U, and you would think, you know, with him, he's actually living in the dorm, you would think with him being so close by that it wouldn't be that big of a deal that he's home for Christmas, but it actually was. And so he had told me, okay, Mom, Tuesday night's my last final, I'll stay at the dorm, I'll come home Wednesday. And being a bit of a procrastinator and a little bit busy, I just, you know, I thought, okay, good, Wednesday afternoon, I have some time to get the house ready. Some of you might know that Chris and my other son Austin's dad had a stroke this summer, and my younger son and I moved into his house, so there's a lot to do, right? We've got lots of stuff, and we had kind of packed everything into the room where he was going to be, so I had to get it all ready. So some of you might be able to identify with this, you know, oh, Chris is coming, so I have to clean things out and sweep and pack stuff away and get everything ready. And then he texts me, Mom, actually, can you pick me up Tuesday night after the final? Yes. Have you ever had that guest you were expecting, but they show up early? Or they call you, we're coming a little early, is that okay? Yes. And you scramble around and you pack things up and you sweep and, I don't know, you maybe shove your clothes under the mattress or whatever you do. Well, you know, that's really kind of like the story of Jesus' birth. Jesus comes whether you're ready or not. And it's okay if your house is messy. Because let's face it, that's often the way it is. So God chose to be born, to become a fleshy, touchable baby in this place where no one expected him to be born. God could have come as a prince,
born in this palace or the most expensive house that you can imagine in the swankiest part of town. But that's not where Jesus came to be. God chose to come to a place that we didn't expect him to come. So whether your Christmas catches up to you and everything comes unexpectedly, or whether you're more prepared than I am, Jesus shows up into all of that, fleshy and touchable, in the most surprising of places, in the most humble of places, among God's creatures. So the animals in the story we just heard, they got everything ready. They were all prepared. But what about us? We can never really be fully ready. The nature of life with God includes that humbling realization that we can never have it all together, all on our own. Our house is messy. Our lives are messy. And Jesus shows up and enters into our lives just as they are, ready or not.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap asleep, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds
time of year. The other night I saw this couple standing out in the cold. She was pregnant, you know. Looked like she didn't have long to go. Well, I couldn't just leave them standing there, could I? Mary, her name was, and her husband's name was Joseph. Just married. Last month, they said. He just found out he had to go all the way back to his own town for some census. And of course, they didn't have any money, did they? So I offered to take him. Well, I couldn't just leave him standing there, could I? We got to talking and Mary told me about her baby, and I tell you, I thought I'd heard it all. Turns out she got pregnant when she was engaged to Joseph, but the baby's not his. You see, an angel comes to Mary and tells her she is going to have a baby and that she has to call him Jesus, and he is going to be the Son of God. It's not every day you hear something like that, is it? Well, I haven't got time to find out no more, because right there, the baby starts coming. Right here, in this cab. There ain't no room in none of the hotels, so I do what I can for them. I explain to them that it's not much, but it's all I can offer. My place ain't no palace. Certainly nothing fit for a king. But it's warm and it's out of the cold, and right there, that's where she had her baby. Such a humble start. But right there, that's where my king was born. I feel so proud to be a part of their story. Even if it's just a small part. My name. I've been called the same thing as long as I can remember. donkey. They call me donkey.
So you're just doing your job, driving your taxi, picking your kids up from wherever you have to pick them up, teaching, whatever your job is, you're just kind of minding your own business. You have your routines, you have everything under control, more or less, kind of that control in the midst of chaos, maybe. And usually it feels pretty good when we feel like we're in control, right? So last spring, I felt like I was in control. I had just finished my third year of seminary. Chris had graduated from high school. My younger son had passed all his classes. And so we were going into summer, and things were looking pretty good. And then the unexpected happened. And it reminded me once again that the control that I thought I had was really an illusion. And that meant that my life had to be different. Now, those kinds of things are hard, but they remind us again that it's actually one of those parts of life when we have to let go, where God really can enter in, right? Donkey says, I explained to them that it's not much, but it's all that I can offer. My place ain't no palace, certainly nothing fit for a king. And right there, that's where she had her baby. Such a humble start. Can you imagine saying that in your own life? Jesus was born in a stable, the most humble place, in the thick of life, in the middle of God's creation. People weren't ready when Jesus came. They were going on with their own hectic lives too. They were crazy, just going around doing their thing. But the animals, they were there in their earthiness and in their simplicity. They were simply present. And that's where God chose to be born as this little baby. They were just there. Their presence was enough. So where is your manger? Where in your life is the messy, stinky place Jesus might be born? We like to show the world the controlled places in our lives. At least I do. I like to show that I have things in order. But God didn't come to the neat, orderly, clean place. God chose to be born amidst the animals, right where they were, in the place where they live. And this is how God chooses to come to us. In that house where there are piles of things around, and there might be dishes in the sink, and there might be piles of clothes around, there might be a little dust in the corners. So that's where God wants to be with us, right in that. God wants to see all those things. The piles that are actually out there in our house, and the ones that we've created in our own minds too. Jesus wants to be in those uncontrolled parts of your life with you. And this little baby who showed up unexpectedly, though people were waiting for him, changed everything. So I don't know what was going on with the animals that night when Jesus showed up in their stable. He just came into their midst. And well, it was late in their feeding trough, so it must have interrupted them somehow. But basically, they just continued. They were there, but something changed. Something changed this creation, and I imagine that along with the angels, the animals were singing hallelujah too. Maybe they were mooing and baaing it, but something changed for them too. We use a lot of energy to try to cover up our smelliness. We try to minimize the mess that's around us. We try to manage everything around us, the impressions that people have of us. But the animals, they didn't do that. They just continued about their business. And what do animals do? They sleep, they eat, they pass a little gas. And that is where Jesus was born. So what if we could say the same things about our life? What if we could say, and we probably can, my life ain't no palace. Certainly nothing fit for a king, yet right here, that's where Jesus is born.
Shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with his rod of his mouth and the breath of his lips. He shall kill the wicked.
Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist and faithfulness the belt around his loins.
The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fawling together and the little child shall lead with them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox.
The nursing child shall play with the hole of the asp, and the weeden child shall put his hand on the adder's den.
They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the earth, and the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples, the nations shall inquire him, and dwelling shall be glorious.
Thanks, Evan and Alessandra. So, why the animals? Because they are the cosmic inbreaking of this God made flesh who came for all creation. Sometimes we think that this baby came just for us. But this baby came for all creation. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That said, the Bible says, and by the way, that comes from Isaiah, if you're interested. Because this planet and all creatures are included. And they have a role to play in our experience of God. These animals are the sign that God works in our world, the entire world, to bring peace, to restore life to its fullest, to make all things new in this world. The world that is around us and the world that's inside us. There's a saying in Spanish that says, cada cabeza es un mundo. And that means every head has its own world in it. If we stay too much in this world that's in our own selves, the world we have created in our lives, the one that we want to control, and the one that we want to create and control everything, we miss the sign. We miss that this story is about us, and we miss that the animals are part of this story right along with us too. We're part of something huge. In this little baby, it's something huge, and it's good, and it's messier than anything we can or would even want to clean up. It's bigger than anything that we can control, and that's a good thing. It is real love and real life, and we get to be in it, right in the thick of it with God. And God's right there with us, making things new and being made new. God chose to be born in a stable, to be laid in a manger in the backwards town of Bethlehem among God's creatures, great and small. This is our sign that our lives, the entire creation, is restored in the birth of this tiny baby in the manger. The baby came into the messiness of that stable and into the messiness of our lives too. God came for all creation, and it changes everything. Everything is made new by the baby who breaks into our lives unexpectedly, even when we're ready. Exactly. So here we are in the stable, and guess who shows up? The wolf and the lamb, the calf and the lion, with the smelly sheep and the stinky camels, with the simple sparrows singing their songs in the stable rafters, and the tiny mice in the manger hay. So let's make room for these surprises and welcome the unexpected. Let's be present together in the stable, right there in the midst of the animals and all creation, to welcome the birth of this baby that changes everything. We're going to say a prayer as we hear some music there. One of the other things, we've sung this before too, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, which we attribute to St. Francis of Assisi. And apparently St. Francis of Assisi probably isn't the one who said this prayer. So, but I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And so let's pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Be present with us, God, in all that we do in the messiness of our lives. Just right there with us. And we pray that we're present with you too at this time when we're waiting for your coming at Christmas. Amen.